This is evident without ever having to say it, but I am going to say it. The pastor of New Testament Baptist Church does not walk to this pulpit as a profession. I'm not here to earn a paycheck. With all of my heart, I sincerely desire that God would use me to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If that's not happening, I want to hear from you. If there's something that you are really struggling with and you need to tell me. Help me. Maybe I'm not clearly seeing what it is that you're missing or that would help you, and therefore I'm not hitting that in the preaching. I do remind you, however, that we don't just meet on Sunday morning. We meet Sunday night and Wednesday night. I was tempted recently to take a look at our internet site and list the topics from Sunday night and Wednesday night on a sheet of paper and hand them out or put them as a bulletin insert so those who never are able to come on Sunday night or choose not to come Sunday night or Wednesday night would know that there are things that perhaps you wish I preached on. I did. You're just not here. So if you come for three meals a week, you might get three times as much as you got if you come the first time, right? I shouldn't have said all that stuff because now you're going to be mad at me. But I really, this message I'm about to preach, I think, is so much needed. And we're probably going to spend more than one session, maybe two, three, four. I want to title it this way. There's so many ways I could title it, but I'm going to title it this way. Reconciling. Reconciling means to bring together, to bring into balance, to bring into agreement. Reconciling religion and relationship. Reconciling religion and relationship. I hope before we're done today, you will understand what I mean by religion and what I mean by relationship and understand that they're not mutually exclusive terms. There is a relationship between them. There is a connection between them. Dr. A.W. Tozer, a greatly used servant of God, says this: most men play at religion as they play at other games. For the first 17 years of my life, I played at the game of religion until I met Jesus Christ and received Him as my personal Savior and Lord. Religion was then changed into a relationship. I want to add to that, because he doesn't go on to say it, at least not in this quote, perhaps in other writings, but that doesn't mean he stopped being religious. A relationship doesn't mean that you're not religious. But religion without a relationship is a problem. And that's where we're going. This is the letter Paul is directed by the Holy Spirit to write to churches in the region of Galatia. And as we read here in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul introduces his letter by saying, Paul, an apostle. Let me stop there. The word apostle, if you do not know, means one sent or a sent one. Paul, an apostle, and then in parentheses, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And then he ends the parentheses. So basically he said, I have been sent by Jesus Christ. In verse 3, he gives a message to them as he comes to them from Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 11. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, the message, the good news, which was preached of me, is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. And assumed here is the word by men or of men. So what he's saying is the gospel that I shared with you didn't have a human origin. It didn't come from man. But verse 12 ends, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was taught by him. I'm sent by him with a message from him that I was taught by him. Then verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation. The word conversation there doesn't mean just talking. It means a manner of life, a lifestyle, conduct. You've heard of my lifestyle or my conduct in the past, in time past, in the Jews' religion. The word relationship is never found in your Bible, anywhere. Relationships are found in the Bible, but the word relationship is never found. But the word religion is found here and in the next verse and in a couple of other places. So you heard of my behavior, my conduct in time past in the Jews' religion, simply the religion of the Jewish people. How that, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So he's writing to people who knew him, and he said, remember, you remember what I used to be like. I was very religious. And in my religion, I excelled. Now, whatever your religion is, and by the time we get to the end of the service this morning, I want you to know this. Verse 14, he said that he profited above many who were his equals. Why did he profit? Why did he go higher, go farther, accomplish more than others that were just like him? Watch, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Have you ever heard the statement, you get out what you put in? Do you want to excel in your Christian faith? Get zealous about it. You will excel above and beyond others if you will get zealous about your faith. Paul didn't just believe his faith. He actively served his faith. He got involved. And because he poured so much into it, he had so much success. And that's the law of God, by the way. But what he's saying is, I was very religious, and you know that. But then I met Jesus. Look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. What he's saying is, I recognize God is the reason I have life. God is my creator. He's the giver of life. And called me by his grace. When it pleased God, who called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. To do what? To reveal his son in me. That's relationship. You know about my religion. But God one day introduced me to his son, revealed his son to me, and now I'm sent by his son with a message from his son. I have been brought into a relationship that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Here's what he's saying. He's reminding them that he had a message for them from God. That message was born out of his personal relationship with God. He was a very religious man before, but he didn't have a relationship with God. Now he has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and he's still a very religious man. Look over at chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When someone lives with someone or lives in someone, that speaks of relationship. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now go ahead a couple of books to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians and chapter number 3. Verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof where he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, that would be the exercise of religion, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. The Pharisee, the word Pharisee means separatist. And the Pharisees were separated from the people and were the highest class of religious people in the Jewish religion. They believed and embraced the law in its entirety. And matter of fact, they were so excited about the law, they added to the law some 600 or more commandments, enlarging upon God's law. These were seriously religious people, and he was one of them. And he excelled above many his own equals, remember? We just read. So he said, anybody wants to boast in religious credentials, they're going to have a hard time going past me. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's religion. Look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That is relationship. He said, everything that I used to do, fulfilling the traditions of my fathers, and everything I did to be religious and keep everything in place and be in order, I counted it all loss. I traded it all in for one thing, Christ. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He's talking about relationship. There's a difference between religion and relationship. The dictionary defines religion in this way: the service and worship of God, or the supernatural. Stay with me now. I know this is going to tend to put you to sleep. I hope it won't. The service and worship of God. Do you serve God? Do you worship God? That's, by dictionary definition, religion. Number two definition, the devotion to religious faith. Do you have a faith? Do you believe a certain thing, and are you devoted to it? That's religion. Number three, an organized system of faith and worship. For example, he said the Jews' religion. He profited in the Jews' religion. The Jewish people had an organized system of faith and worship. That's religion. But let's define the word relationship. Relationship, according to the dictionary, is the state of being related. Not hard. The state of being related. So we've got to now ask ourselves, what does it mean to be related? Here's the dictionary definition of relation, of related. Related. Number one, connected. Get that word. Connected. By some understood relationship. So you are related if you are connected by some understood relationship. The second definition for related, connected through membership in the same family. So, Paul had a system of faith and worship that he zealously followed, but he was not connected to the God whom he served and worshiped. But when he got born again, he became a member of God's family, and God came to live in him and dwell in him, and Christ is his brother, and God is his father, and now he has a living connection with the living God. That's relationship. So the first question for us to ponder this morning is, in my life, am I religious or do I have a relationship? Look with me again at the book of Acts, chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. One of the marks of religious people is that on Sunday morning, they get up, get dressed, and go to church. So the fact that you and I have done that today indicates, and would indicate to some, that we're religious. There are a lot of folks who didn't go to church today. And they would look at you, and if they found out you went to church, they'd go, oh, you're religious. Or you're one of those religious people, right? It is a mark of religion. But what's important? Relationship or religion? Well, both. Look at chapter 22. Acts 22 and verse 3. Paul is giving a defense of himself before the Jewish people. And in verse number 1, men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Wait a minute, don't miss that. Brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Remember what he said in Galatians? He said, what I've given you, I didn't get it from man. I wasn't taught it by men. I didn't get it from man. I got it from the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when he's talking about religion, what does he say? He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Religion comes from men. Most religion comes from men. We'll get into that a little deeper in just a moment. But I sat at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous, watch this now, toward God. That's a little different. Zealous toward God than Christ living in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In my religion, I was zealous toward God. There's no connection. There is an outward effort toward, but no connection. As you are all this day. And he goes on to talk about his religious fervor. And then he tells that he was on the way to Damascus in verse number 6, and he saw a great light in verse number 7. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And he goes on to tell them that I met Jesus that day, and Jesus gave me a task to do, gave me a job to do, and I've just been faithful doing what Jesus told me to do. Look at verse 14. Verse number 14. This is Ananias speaking to Saul right after he met Jesus. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So know, see, and hear. Those are terms having to do with relationship. You were zealous toward God. Now God has chosen you and called you and brought you into a living relationship with him. Now please listen carefully to me. Religion was always meant to bring us into relationship. Without turning in your Bibles, can you stay alert enough without me asking you to turn the pages? Okay, good. One can. I saw a few others nod their head. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. What do we have? Religion or relationship? Don't be bashful. Relationship. God creates man and woman, communes with them, fellowship. They're talking together. They're sharing time together. They're sharing tasks together. There's relationship. In chapter 3, they disobey God, the man and the woman. It's called sin. And the relationship is affected. Are you with me? So now we have a change in the relationship. So then God addresses the need by the slaying of an animal and the blood of that animal being shed. The coats of skin from that animal were used to make a covering for Adam and Eve's nakedness. And God gave them a promise of hope. Now, while it's not fully explained, we come to chapter 4 and we meet two of their children, Cain and Abel, and they come to worship the Lord. Is that religion or relationship? It's really both, but the act of worship is more religion, right? This is how they're going to worship the Lord. So the one comes with an animal, and he slays the animal on an altar, offering it as a sacrifice unto God. The other, Cain, brings the fruit of the ground, the vegetables and fruits, and offers them to God. And the Bible says that God looked down, and he had respect unto Abel and his offering, but he did not have respect unto Cain and his offering. Why would that be? Because God is a God who is without sin. A God who cannot be approached by a guilty sinner without God slaying that sinner in his holiness and his righteousness. God said, the soul that sinneth, you shall die. He said to Adam and Eve, the day that you sin, you shall surely die. Adam is a sinner. Eve is a sinner. Abel's a sinner. Cain is a sinner. Abel knows that in order to have a relationship with God, he needs to have the right religion, the right worship. And so he comes and worships God in a manner consistent with who God is. And Cain does not. Now God says, Cain, why are you upset? All you have to do is do the right thing. If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. So God is saying, you can have the same relationship with me. I can have respect unto your offering. We can have the same relationship if you'll just do it in a way consistent with who I am. Cain refuses to do so. And he goes his own way. He murders his brother, and we won't go into that, the rest of that story. Go to chapter 6 now, and I'll just turn there because I want to read you the words. This is Genesis chapter 6. The world now has expanded and multiplied, and man is so wicked that God is said to repent of the fact that he made man. And he says, I'm going to destroy man, every living thing off the face of the earth. That's in chapter 6. But then we read verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Remember what Paul said? God chose to reveal his son in me. Give me his grace. Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Do you wonder why? Well, let's read on. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah had a relationship with God that was in harmony with his knowledge of who God is. And so God, who is also gracious, had shown grace unto Noah, but men who had chosen not to acknowledge the character of God and had become wicked and sinful and gone their own way, God is going to judge them. But I want you to get to note that the relationship was the birth of Noah's religion. Noah walked with God. Because he walked with God, he practiced justice and he was perfect in his generation. His religion springs out of his relationship with God. One more passage of scripture I want to go to, and that's Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter number 19. Or excuse me, Exodus chapter 19. I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 19. Now God is dealing with an entire nation of people called Israel, the seed of Abraham. They have been in bondage in a place called Egypt for 400 years. And God delivers them and takes them out of bondage, and he begins to deal with them so there's no one else around. It's just God and his people. Watch this. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Watch now. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. That, my friend, is relationship. He said, if you stop and think about where you were and where you are, guess who did that? You know the answer to that question. It's me. The relationship you have with me was at my instigation. I chose to do it. Do you remember what Paul said? Paul said, God, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in me, to reveal his son in me. I found grace in God's eyes. The relationship is not something that man ever instituted with God, but God made with man. There was in the beginning God, he made man. The relationship existed because of who? Because of God. When man sinned against God, God provided a way to atone for his sin so man could go back into relationship with God. Who was the relationship based upon? Who instigated the relationship? God. And God reminds Israel now as a nation, I brought you out. Like an eagle, I put you on my wings and I brought you out. You are here and you are alive because of me. Now watch. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Priests practice religion. Holiness leads to religion. He's saying, I want you to obey my voice and keep my covenant. My friend, that's religion. But religion is based upon relationship. God, in his mercy, has established a relationship with Israel and says, now if you will worship me in accordance with who I am and follow my guidelines and follow my teaching and you'll worship me, then your religion answering to my relationship with you will profit you and I will bless you above all the peoples upon the face of the earth. I'm saying to you, religion was meant to bring us into a relationship. It was meant to facilitate that relationship, not to replace the relationship. Let me say it again, not to replace the relationship. In the beginning, God. And God, in his mercy and grace, revealed himself to man and invited man to be in relationship with him. And God did not want to replace the relationship by a religion. God wanted them to have a religion which was a revelation of who he was so that they could enter into the joys of the relationship with him. Now, I hope this will become clear in just a moment because I'm going to make it practical to you. But I'm simply trying to get you to say it's not either or, religion or relationship. They both are important. Religion was meant to engage us in a relationship with God, to give us entrance into relationship with God, to enliven our relationship with God. Relationship provides the basis for religion or results in religion. The word religion in the English language comes from a Latin word which means to tie or to bind. Literally, the root word is lig, L-I-G, from which we get the word ligament or ligature. That's something that binds two things together, that ties two things together, that connects two things. That's what religion comes from, that word. It's a tie, something that binds. Last Sunday night in this auditorium, we sang a song called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. So religion, by definition, is that which connects, that which holds everything together. What, and specifically, the relationship between God and man. But what comes first? The relationship. You do not get the relationship by religion. God gives you the relationship by grace. And you enter into and enjoy and fulfill the relationship by religion, by the proper practice of faith and worship that answers to the one you have a relationship with. The Apostle Paul talked about his religion, and the religion that he and the Pharisees practiced came from where? It came from God. The Old Testament, the law, came from God. This religion was God-given, and yet he said, I practiced and I was zealous, but at the time I didn't have a relationship with God. So don't throw out religion because you hear the word relationship. Say, preacher, why are you doing this? I'll tell you why I'm doing it. Because for the last 10, 20, 30 years, the emphasis in Christian circles has been on, it's all about my relationship with God. I'm not religious. I have a relationship with God. And what that does is it moves us into an emotional Christianity, which is touchy-feely, and it's all about what I feel or how I sense, and I'm right with God. Listen to me. You can't be right with God if you don't know who God is. And religion reveals who God is. The laws of God in the Old Testament and in the Bible tell us about the God we serve. And you cannot have a relationship with Him if you are not in harmony with or in agreement with who He is. When Adam and Eve transgressed God's law, what happened to the relationship? Severed. Your sins have separated between you and I. And so I'm trying to get you to understand, God is the one who gave the religion. But that religion was not valid in Paul's life because the relationship between God was absent. The relationship aspect was gone. He was a sinner, estranged from God. And no matter how much he tried to follow God's religion, he couldn't find God, couldn't please God, couldn't satisfy. Until he was reintroduced into a vital living relationship with God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He had a relationship with God, if you please, but wasn't rightly related to God. Oh, I wish you'd get this. You know, when we're talking about religion and we talk about this idea of a tie, something that binds together, do you know that's the basic language of a covenant where two people are bound together? Your Bible is divided into two parts. Somebody help me this morning. The first part is called the Old Testament. The Old Testament. What's another word for testament? Covenant. The Old Testament is all about God's covenant under law. God tied himself to his people. And he asked them to tie themselves to him. And he said, as long as you do these things, then you and I will have this wonderful relationship. It tied them together. And the second half of your Bible is called the New what? Testament, which also means covenant. Jesus said, this blood, this, and he took the cup. It didn't say this blood. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. God establishing a new covenant. What's a covenant? It's a tie. Have you ever read Paul's epistle to the Ephesians where he says that if you want to understand the relationship between a Christian and Christ, the church and Christ, you need to understand marriage? He said, I know this seems like a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about the husband and the wife, right? The language that we use when it comes to marriage, have you ever thought about it? It's called tying the knot, right? It's called the bonds or the bands of holy matrimony. I'm told all the time, we don't like being tied down. We don't like being under bondage. Wait a minute. Marriage is the bonds of holy matrimony. It's a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. And the relationship is established first. And because of the relationship, because the man comes to appreciate who she is and she comes to appreciate who he is, then they're ready to enter into a covenant and they become religious because of the relationship that's established. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me ask you a question if you're married. Where do you eat most? At the local restaurant or at your house? Where do you eat religiously? You eat religiously at the restaurant. You eat regularly at the house. Why? What's the difference? Relationship. You may enjoy the food at the restaurant, but you have a relationship that you entered into, and the relationship makes you religious. You have a system of practice or conduct every day because of the relationship that you entered into. You don't do that to get the relationship. You got the relationship because you fell in love and she was willing to take you and he was willing to take you and you entered into the relationship. And now because you have a relationship, you have a religion. You have a system, a practice, things you will do and won't do. You're bound. You're tied together. You've tied the knot. Do you get the picture? Religion without relationship is not what God intended. But God did not throw out religion with relationship. Relationship is the basis of religion. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke." Be tied together with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Paul calls himself the bond slave. We read a moment ago, he called himself the prisoner of the Lord. Is that against his will? No. No, because he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus and the relationship with God was established, now he's willingly a prisoner, willingly a servant, willingly a bond slave. He's not going on doing what he wants to do in whatever way he wants to do it because now he's saved and on his way to heaven. No. Because the relationship he has in salvation is with the God of the universe. The God of the universe is holy and just and true and right and righteous and loving. And so he's now adopting a religion and is a religious man in answer to the relationship that he has. Where do you hang out? Where do you spend most of your free time when you have an option? Where do you hang out? Where you have relationships? You don't ordinarily hang out where you don't have a relationship. You'll be found where you have a relationship. Your practice, your system will be based upon relationship. Who do you converse with regularly? Who do you converse with most? The person you have a relationship with. So you know what we ought to ask ourselves this morning? Who do we talk to? Whose conversation do I seek? Who do I want to hear from every day? Who do I want to talk to every day? Where do I want to hang out? That might go a long way to helping me understand whether I have a religion or a relationship. Do you have a relationship with God? I'm going to help you in the days to come or in the messages to come, if I can, to know how to have this relationship with God. I hope it's clear to you this morning. You need a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. But a relationship will result in a religion. But it will be a religion that's in harmony with the relationship that you have. Am I living this morning for God out of relationship, or am I here just carrying out religious ceremony and duty and observance on a weekly basis, and when I'm done, when the preacher dismisses the service, it's over? True religion always arises out of relationship. I'm trying to reconcile the two for you. And I'm going to try with God's help to give you some clear indicators from the record of Scripture that show us the difference between people who are religious and people who have a relationship with God. And may the Lord help us to grow in that. Let's pray. Heads back.